All right, we're going to talk today about something that I think the songs are appropriate for, a flag to follow. I'm going to talk about, at least partly, why Jesus is that. I found them all in Jesus. What about him makes it so worthy to follow? And then the first part, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Hopefully that's not a question mark in your mind, as Dr. Mitchell said. It's truly an amazing thing, and today I'd like us to think about that, at least one aspect of it, and then something we're commanded to do along that same line. So today I want to talk about forgiveness, and we'll start off talking about God's forgiveness, and I want us to hopefully think about that. I'm going to read some verses, talk about it, but you know academically what it is, but I'd like us to really settle in and think about God forgave us. And that should be something that's overwhelming. I have the first point titled, God's forgiveness and mercy should overwhelm us. It should be overwhelming. And then we'll look at something at the end that we should do along this same line. But let's go ahead and pray as we get started. Lord, we thank you for your word and how we can look at it. And Lord, hopefully today appreciate the fact that you've forgiven us. Lord, we don't deserve it. It's just because you loved us. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Lord, help us to have a renewed appreciation for that. And then as we talk about us forgiving others, as you tell us to do like you forgave us, help us to also do that as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so those are the 2 points. We're going to talk about God's forgiveness being overwhelming. And then we'll talk about the fact that we're supposed to forgive like we were forgiven. All right, and that's something else, if you stop and think about it, is a pretty daunting task. We like to come up with all kinds of excuses about why. Well, you know, you don't know the whole story. I can still hold a grudge. You wouldn't call it a grudge. I can't forgive them. Well, is that the way you were forgiven? No, we're supposed to forgive like we were forgiven. So we'll get there. First of all, God's forgiveness and mercy should overwhelm us. Let's start in Jeremiah chapter 5. We'll read several passages today. Some I'll read to you, some I'll have you turn to. But here, I want you to think about God's forgiveness and how it's overwhelming to us. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1. Here we have God looking and hoping that he can forgive. All right, look at verse 1. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seek the truth, and I will pardon it. God in heaven's looking at us, looking for an excuse. I hope I can find a reason to pardon you and not hold you accountable for your sin. Why? Were we so good that God saw a great bargain? He was on a bargain finder and saw us. Oh, I want to be the first one there? No, I'm sorry. Craigslist. Bargain finder's a print document. It's on Craigslist and saw us listed. Oh, I've got to be the first one there. That's a good deal. No. But that's the way he's described here. Talking about Jerusalem. Go find somebody, just one, so I can pardon them. And that's what God did for us. He was looking for an excuse, hoping we would come. I'm going to get ahead of myself, but sometimes somebody does something wrong to us, and that's not really our attitude. We're hoping they never come to us. You don't want to forgive them. God is hoping. Think about what we did to him, and he still hopes we'll come, looking, searching for an excuse to forgive us. It should be overwhelming. All right, another thing to think about. We sin against God. And God offers us this chance for forgiveness. Satan wasn't offered that chance. Why are we so special? God could have said, well, you sinned. Okay, you're done. But he extended forgiveness. Right? Satan doesn't have the chance to repent. Satan doesn't have the chance of forgiveness. We do. Can't explain it other than the song we sing. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? It's amazing. It's overwhelming. It should be something that we never get over. God forgave us and was merciful to us. All right, think about creation. God makes this perfect world. No sin, no death. And who ruined it? Everybody say it. Mankind, us, Adam and Eve, we did it. All right. We ruined it. And still, I mean, right then, as soon as they sinned, God's coming down, trying to extend forgiveness. Right? Take your little brother or sister, or maybe your big brother or sister, depending on the situation. You're doing something, and they come in and kick it over. Is your first thought, jump up and say, please, let me forgive you for what you just did, destroying my whole creation? No! And we get angry. We want to get even. We want to go into their room and, you know, kick over several things to just to, vengeance is mine, thus saith, and you put your name there. That's not our reaction. But here, mankind ruined his perfect creation. And his thought was, I need to somehow be able to forgive them. He loves us. He wasn't getting a good deal with me. Maybe you think he's getting a good deal with you, but he wasn't. He loved us. Even there, when we destroyed his creation, he extended forgiveness. Go ahead a little bit further in history. The Jews are formed, and God and Jesus are forming a state for them, giving them rules, how they're supposed to operate, the Old Testament. And what did they do? The Jews. They're told all these rules to follow. Did they obey them very well? No, over and over, they disobey. They disobey. They disobey. And over, God forgives. God's hoping they'll come back to him, like he was here in Jeremiah. Surely I can find somebody who's still obeying me so I can forgive them. He was hoping, even after repeated trials. Now we'll get later. There's a limit to God's forgiveness. I mean, people will go to hell. He doesn't forgive everybody. But his whole mindset is, I hope I can forgive. I hope I can show mercy. He's looking for an excuse. Even there, he lays it out for him. This is how I want your nation to run. Do these things. Don't do these things. And right away, they break them. And over again, they break them. And God is merciful and forgives. Now, don't just think about the Jews and how bad they were. How often do you break God's laws? Even before salvation, you sinned, you sinned, you sinned. God didn't say, okay, that's enough. That was three times. And smushes. No, he was still hoping. We come to Christ for salvation. He forgives us. And then we sin. We go back and he forgives us. We sin. We go back and he forgives us. I can't explain it. You know, I take my daughter out to McDonald's. Playland isn't quite the draw that it used to be, but she still likes it. We take her out for ice cream, and we're doing something fun. We get home, and she intentionally disobeys. I'm going to be especially angry. I say, wait, I just did all that nice stuff for you. What's wrong? And here God provides us with salvation, and we intentionally disobey. And his thought is, please let me forgive you. Why don't you come and ask for forgiveness? I want to forgive you. It's overwhelming. I can't explain it. All right, jump ahead to the time of the New Testament. Christ comes to earth, lives here amongst us, and dies on the cross to provide a way for us to go to heaven so that he could forgive us. It's not like it was... wasn't just saying, God just saying, yeah, sure, you're forgiven. Go on your way. This cost him something. It cost his son. He died so we can be forgiven. And many of us knew that before we got saved and rejected. You heard the gospel. You knew Christ died for you. And he said, oh, not right now. And God still extends forgiveness to you? Can't explain it. After salvation, you know what God did. You know what it cost him. And you turn your back on him and go sin. And God's there waiting when you come back to him to extend forgiveness. It's overwhelming, humbling, and overwhelming. God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness. All right, still here thinking about this idea of God's forgiveness. this mercy and forgiveness that he extends is for his sake. It wasn't so much for us. We'll read a couple of verses here. It's because that's who God is. It's because he wanted to. Turn to Psalms 25. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Think about this fact that he forgave us for his sake. Not for our sake, for his sake. 25 verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake. David here didn't say, you know, do it so I can have a happy life. For your sake. It's all about God and nothing about us. I thought it was interesting to think about the first half of the verse. Remember not the sins. He didn't say, remember all of the good things I've done. Right? That's the way we would start it sometimes. You know, God, you know, I did this on Saturday and this on Sunday. Can you forgive me for this one thing I did wrong? He didn't point to his good works. He came to God say, begging him not to remember the sins that he had committed, not pointing to his own good works, remembering his sin. God forgave him. So he didn't ask for God to remember his good works. He didn't ask for justice. You know, what if you put there, according to thy justice, remember me? That's a scary thought. We wouldn't be here. We'd be in hell right now for eternity. But he wasn't begging for justice. Right, we get caught in that trap sometimes. Oh, that's not fair. I deserve better. Right? We just heard that recently. Better than I deserve. No, you don't deserve better. You deserve hell. That's what you deserve. David here didn't plead for justice or what was right. He just begged for mercy. And God extended it. Psalm 79. Verse 9. Same thought. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. We can't come to God and offer anything. You know, do this so that I... No. It's for his name's sake. For thy name's sake. Isaiah 43. See another passage along the same line. Verse 25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my sake. I will not remember thy sins. Because God wanted to. Because he loved us. It was for his sake. For something on his side. Not anything to do with us. For his sake. He forgave us for his own sake. And then we have to turn to Ephesians 4:32. You might know this one. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. It's for his sake. For him. Think about, we're forgiven for Christ's sake. We're saved for his sake. What would that mean about how we live right now? For whose sake should we be living? We were forgiven for God. That should be our entire life. What do you want me to do? How can I please you better? We've been forgiven. What else could we possibly do? It's for his sake. All right, another thought to have here about forgiveness is that God will forget our sins. That's a tough one to think about. No, some of you, when you take my test, I know that you're capable of forgetting. All right. But that person that did something wrong to you, it's tough to forget it. But God says he's going to forget our sins. You don't have to flip here. Jeremiah 31, 34 says, and they shall teach no man, no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. He's going to forget it. Someday we'll stand before God in heaven, and he's not going to look at us and say, oh, yeah, you're that filthy, rotten pig that did those things. It's not even going to be in his mind. What an amazing thought. Amazing thought. I'm sure you've done something bad and as a kid, and you go to your parents, and it's in both of your minds. You know, the parent remembers what you did, and you remember what you did. It's there. We're going to stand before God, and he's not going to remember. I can't explain it. It's amazing. He'll forget it. Psalms 103, verse 8. I'll read this to you. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. As far away as you can imagine, basically. That's how far our sins are separated from us in God's mind. He's going to forget it. It's an amazing thing. Some of you would love to pass Mr. Armacost in the hallway and not have that thing cross your mind. I wonder if he remembers. We're not going to worry about God. He's going to forget it. It's going to be gone. Verse 10, let me read that to you again. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. I just have my notes. Wow. Not dealt with me after my sins. This morning I dealt with Olivia after her sins. The little stinking brat. She gets up, and she's supposed to make her bed and get dressed. And she likes to get up and, I don't know if it's a girl thing or just a little kid thing, play around her room, and she looks at her dolls and everything else but get dressed. Right? So she got a spanking because a half an hour after she got up, she's standing in pajamas with her bed unmade. I dealt with her after her sins. I gave her spanking. God's saying he's not going to do that if we come for forgiveness. Wow. I deserve it, but he's not going to do it. Verse number 9 in the same passage said, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Right, I'm not encouraging you here to glory in the forgiveness of God by frequently dipping into it as often as you can. Go sin as much as possible because you want to just enjoy forgiveness. No, there's a limit. Right, he's not going to beg us forever to come for forgiveness. But if we come to him, he's there waiting for us. Amazing, amazing thought. All right, I kind of hit upon this already. But we're going to be treated as if we had no sin, if we're saved, as if we had no sin, as if we were perfect. I don't deserve it. But I'm going to stand before God someday, and he's going to treat me like I was sinless. I'll know I'm not, but he's going to treat me that way. I think what sometimes when you hear, read in Revelations about people singing praises to God, I think that might be part of it, because they remember they're sinners, and they realize that it's not even in God's mind. I'm forgiven. It's an amazing, amazing thought. Let's read two more passages here. Psalm chapter 32. Just reminding us of how amazing it is that God forgives and that he forgave us. Here we have David writing verses 1 through 5. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my ruin all the days long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquities have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. You can feel the weight of the transgression and sin and the glory of it being forgiven. It's amazing. Isaiah 55. Sorry, I should have not had you go back and forth all the time. Isaiah 55. Another description here of God's forgiveness. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Like it's never even happened. It's completely wiped clean off your record. God's forgiveness. The last thing before we leave God's forgiveness, I already mentioned briefly, is that this idea there's an end to it. Or God's not going to force it on us. It's not everybody will receive this forgiveness. That passage in Jeremiah chapter 5 that we started with, he never found that person. They end up getting judged and get carried away into captivity. They never found it. Right? So this is not something he forces on us. He holds it out for us. He's hoping we'll come for salvation. After we're saved, he's hoping we'll come and ask for forgiveness to restore the fellowship with him, as we heard last week. He's hoping, but he's not going to force it on us. How could we think of the rudeness, if that's the right word for it, that sometimes we show towards God? He's offering this amazing thing of forgiveness, and we walk away and don't accept it. He's not going to force it on us. God wants to forgive us. Okay, that's the first thing. It should be overwhelming, the fact that God wants to forgive us, and has if you're saved. Right? The second thing is we are told to forgive as God forgave us. That pretty much means you forgive under all circumstances, at any point, if they come and ask. Forgive as we were forgiven. We read Ephesians 4:32. Let me read it again. Turn the page. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So just like you were forgiven, you should forgive others. Good. Again, think about how amazing it is that God forgave you. And when someone comes to you and apologizes, unless it's worse than what you did to God, you should forgive. As you were forgiven. Flip to the New Testament, Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. The same idea. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgive like you were forgiven. It's a tall order. Luke chapter 6. Verse 36. Here we're told, be ye merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Think of how many times God was merciful to you. You sin, you stick your finger in God's eyes, you know, just rude, and he's merciful. He doesn't give you hell for eternity instantly. Merciful. And we're supposed to treat other people with mercy like that. It's a tall order. Tall order. Okay, a couple of thoughts here about how we're supposed to forgive. First of all, we don't forgive because the person deserves it. Was that why you were forgiven? So it's not someone comes to you and asks for forgiveness? Well, you know, I want to see this, this, and this. I want you to earn that forgiveness. Wow, I'm glad I wasn't forgiven that way. I'll never earn it. When someone comes to ask forgiveness, really it has very little to do with them. You're told to forgive like God forgave you. Forgiveness. It has nothing to do with whether the person deserves it. We need to forget like God does. Now, that's hard. We're people. But don't hold it over their head. Forget it. Let it go. Right? We like to hold on to things. Someone did something to us or we saw them do something, and we like to hold on to it and chew on it and think about it. And every time they do something else, we filter it through that assumption of guilt. God doesn't do that to us. Let it go. Forget it. We don't need to seek revenge or get even. That's God's job. If they've really done something so hideous that they need punished, God can take care of it. Romans chapter 12 talks about this. 12 verses 19 through 21. I can read it if you're not there. Wrong chapter. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Now, catch there, it's talking about an enemy. This isn't really somebody that's come and asked for forgiveness. I mean, this is an active enemy, and you're supposed to be nice to them. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So it's not time to seek revenge or get even. Forgive. Let it go. All right, we're told to forgive as God does. You could go back to that and say, well, you know, God does say there's a limit. Right? But again, we're told to forgive as we were forgiven. Right? You went to God. You never reached that point. You went to God for forgiveness, and he forgave you. We should extend that to other people. Everybody wants to run to come up with some scenario where they get to hold the grudge. Really, it should be the complete opposite. You should be coming up with every possible excuse you can to forgive and forget and let it go. Oh, it's, you know, that should be your thought. Not when do I get to hold a grudge? You are forgiven. So as until the wrong gets worse than what you did to God, you better forgive. If you ever think it gets worse than what you did to God, you need to deal with some pride and some other very serious issues in your life. All right, so there's not a really, the limit is what it was with us. God forgave all that we did. We should be willing to do that with others. The last thing here is we really hurt ourselves when we don't forgive. People do something wrong to you and you don't forgive them. It hurts you. Years ago, this is not even a serious story, but there was, I was standing right outside in the hallway there talking to somebody, another man in the church, and my wife came and we left. That man, for several years, thought I had intentionally been rude to him and walked away in the middle of a conversation. I didn't even remember doing that until he came to me years later and talked about how upset he was about it. And I'm taking his word for it that we actually did that. But all that time, he was torn up. I didn't come to him and apologize and ask for forgiveness. And I did. At that point, I said, I'm very sorry. I did, you know. But it hurt him. Did it hurt me? Well, it makes for a funny story, but it didn't hurt me. It hurt him. Right? And you're the same way. You don't forgive somebody, it's hurting you. Now, we're not God, but God said he forgives us for his sake. So to extend the thought, we should forgive partly for our sake because I need it. You do wrong to me, I need to forgive you because it helps me. And hopefully you're not with completely selfish motivations in your forgiveness. But I think it's there. We need to do it for our sake. Nothing to do with that person. I need to forgive you for my sake. You hurt yourself when you don't forgive. I really think at the heart of it is us being very proud. We think for some reason that that person doesn't deserve forgiveness, especially from me. What right do I have to decide? I'm a filthy, rotten sinner that was forgiven by God. I better extend forgiveness. I think pride is at the heart of it. We hurt ourselves when we don't forgive. Right. Forgiveness. First half should be overwhelming. That God forgave us. And then the second half, we should extend that same type of forgiveness to others. Not looking for reasons to hold a grudge or not forgive. We should be looking for excuses. We should be hoping, wanting to forgive. Just like we were forgiven, we should extend to others. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Let me ask just two questions before we have the invitation. Two questions. First one, have you forgotten how wonderful God's forgiveness is? Think about it. Have you let that, the wonder of that slip away? If you're here and not saved, I guess I should extend that question. Have you received God's forgiveness? It starts at salvation. And then the second question, do you forgive others as God forgave you? Do you forgive others as you are forgiven? Let's pray before the invitation. Lord, we ask that you would help us as we think about your word to both be amazed at your forgiveness and then also be challenged to forgive as we were forgiven. Lord, we ask that you'd bless this invitation time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.